Good morning. I invite you to find a Bible in front of you or with you and turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 25. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, just a few days before we gather to celebrate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day together, we turn once again to this book that points us forward not only to Jesus' first coming as a baby, but also to Jesus' second coming as a warrior. Remember that Isaiah speaks here in this book as a prophet, as God's messenger. So what he speaks in Isaiah 25 is what will be. This is not what might be or what could possibly be. What we read this morning, what Isaiah proclaims to us, is what will be. The Word of God tells us the end of the story. And we could summarize the end of the story in two words. Jesus wins. That's the end of the story. Jesus wins. But how exactly does he win? And that's where Isaiah 25 points us. In the end, Jesus destroys death. On the cross, Jesus defeated death. He conquered death. That's one of the ways that Jesus' kingdom has come. But upon his return, Jesus will destroy death. And that's one of the ways his kingdom will come. So you can be sure of this, believer, that one day Jesus is going to decimate death. So as you have your Bibles open to Isaiah 25, let me read these words about the end from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 24. Paul writes, "Then comes the end, when Jesus delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death." Or as Isaiah prophesied 8 centuries before the birth of Jesus in our chapter this morning, verse 8, he will swallow up death forever. So this ultimate outcome of Jesus' utter destruction of death is certain. And for the believer, what this does for us is it gives us hope here and now. Here and now, in this life, living on this fallen planet, as we live under the lingering shadow of death. We can't escape death's shadow. No matter how hard we try, we can't escape it. We can't beat it. But because of Jesus, we have unshakable hope in the midst of it. Because our hope is not in what might possibly be. Our hope is in what will be. And what will be is that Jesus is going to destroy death by swallowing it up forever. We need to remind ourselves of this. I know I need to remind myself of this. And we need to remind ourselves of this all the time, every day, but especially as we approach Christmas Day. Because at the center of it all the trappings, all the busyness, all the parties, all the decorations, at the center of it all is a baby in a manger. And that baby wasn't born just to be a great teacher. There's plenty of those. That baby wasn't born just to be a religious leader. There's plenty of those. That baby wasn't born just to be a revolutionary. There's plenty of those. That baby, Jesus Christ, was born to be death's destroyer. There's only one of those. That little Lord Jesus lying away in a manger isn't just a cute baby. In that manger lies the destroyer of death. So know this, that even as we speak right now, today, Jesus is currently in the process of putting all things in subjection under his feet. And so all of history is leading to the final day when Jesus puts death under his feet once for all, period. So Isaiah points us in chapter 25 to Jesus as death's destroyer. So lift up your eyes today and open your ears today to hear God's word. Be reminded first, as we look at our text in our first five verses, death's destroyer is worthy of worship. We begin with praise in verse 1. You could almost hear Isaiah singing these words. Oh Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. Why? Why is Isaiah praising God's name? Here's why. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. As we read on, we'll see that those plans that were formed of old, those plans that are faithful and sure, are plans for death's destruction. Isaiah is saying the one who is death's destroyer is worthy of worship. Verse 2, for you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. So three times in that verse, verse 2, Isaiah mentions a city. Once he mentions a palace. This is a prophetic picture of a place and a palace of death. And what has happened is this place and this palace of death has been decimated by God to the point that it will never be rebuilt. So as a result, therefore, picking up in verse 3, therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for we see here the decimation, the destruction of evil, of death is not just for the purpose of the destruction of evil and death, but it's also for the purposes of the safety and the salvation of God's people. For you have been a stronghold, verse 4, to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against the wall, like heat in a dry place. So Isaiah is saying, and we can say with him, God, you are worthy of worship because you destroy the place and the palace of death. And by doing so, you save your people. God's destruction of death, his destruction of the place and the palace of death is for his people's peace. Just notice this with me. I want to point this out. In these verses, God isn't indiscriminately destroying things. That can be a mischaracterization of God when we read passages like this in the Old Testament. We can picture just sort of him indiscriminately firing away at people or cities or things. God doesn't indiscriminately do anything. What God does is accomplish his purposes. God fulfills his plans. And they were plans that were formed of old, Isaiah says. They're faithful and sure.
And his plans are for the absolute destruction of all the places and palaces of death, putting all things in subjection under his feet. In so doing, we are saved, and in so doing, he is worshiped. He is glorified. So we're seeing here, worship in response to God's great destruction of death. He's going to make death into such a heap that it can't be rebuilt. Just be encouraged by God's word this morning that this is what will be. And this is good news for us because this is not how things currently are. We feel the shadow of death everywhere. We can't escape it. Just reading this morning about that horrible thing that took place in Germany a few days ago. This past week, another school shooting in Wisconsin, a 15-year-old girl shoots and kills a teacher and a student and herself in the library. The shadow of death hovers over us and we feel it, but God one day is going to level death. All the places, all the palaces of death and all the shadows they cast. So you have a reason to hope as a believer. And it's not just that everything will just work out one day. You have a reason to praise even in, as David put it in Psalm 23, even in the valley of the shadow of death in which we all walk. You have a reason to worship. Think of that carol we're going to sing on Tuesday night. It has that classic line in it. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Death's destroyer is worthy of worship. Praise God. As we continue on in this amazing chapter, we're encouraged even more to hold on to that hope. Don't let go of that hope. Even in the here and now, even in the pain and the struggle and the suffering and the death that we see here and now, because we're promised here, death's destruction is worth waiting for. Here's what's coming for you, believer. You can be sure of this. Verse 6, on this mountain, Isaiah says, on this mountain, so we're talking about the end now, talking about the place and time when the people of God dwell forever in the house of God on this mountain. And in that day, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he, talking about a man here, talking about a person here. He, Jesus, the Messiah, will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all the peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. The picture Isaiah is painting here is of a death pall, a shroud of death. Picture it. Blanketing all people and all nations. That's the shroud of death that you and I currently live under in this fallen world, under the shroud of death. And Jesus one day isn't simply going to remove it and set it aside. The picture here is much more glorious than that. Jesus is going to swallow it up. Verse 8, happy Advent and Merry Christmas and Happy Easter in this verse, all wrapped up into one. You ready? He, Jesus, will swallow up death forever. No more school shootings. No more cancer. No more disease. No more death. He's going to swallow it up forever on his mountain. Don't you love the power of this picture? Because what death so often feels like to us when we lose someone or when we look death in the face, the finality of it, the tragedy of it, the sadness of it, the horror of it, it feels like it could swallow us up. It's been 8.5 years for me since my dad died. It's a long time. I can't believe it, 8.5 years. But even I, unexpectedly, will feel that vacuum once in a while when I least expect it. I'm sure you can relate. A couple of weeks ago, the day these wonderful new pew cushions arrived, I was putting Jacob to sleep that night, and I was lying on his bedroom floor thinking, who am I close enough to that I could text pictures of the new pew cushions to? You know you're a church nerd when you get excited about pew cushions. And so I'm texting it to a few people who are lucky enough to receive texts from me about pew cushions. And for a moment I thought, oh, my dad would love this. And then I remembered, oh, I can't text my dad. And for about 7 seconds, it's been 8.5 years, about 7 seconds, it felt like Jacob's floor could just swallow me up. You ever been to the 9/11 memorial in New York City? Stared down those two massive chasms where the Twin Towers used to be and seen the names of the thousands of people who died that day? Have you visited Auschwitz? Do you have a place at your table this Christmas that will be empty? And that empty chair, that missing place setting this Christmas feels like it could just swallow you up. One day Jesus is going to swallow it up. He's going to swallow up death forever. And not only that, verse 8 tells us the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The reproach of his people, he'll take away from all the earth. And I'm not making this up. If you've got verse 8, 9 in front of you, for the Lord has spoken. This will happen. Don't forget, believer, this promise that one day you are going to feel the fingers of Jesus on your face. The real Jesus is going to gather you up in his arms. Jesus will answer all of your questions. Jesus will show you everything that while you were under the shroud of death, you just couldn't see. And the same fingers that flung the stars into space, and the same fingers that were mashed up against the cross as he was crucified, those same fingers are going to wipe away your tears and take away your reproach, for the Lord has spoken. This day of death's destruction is worth waiting for. It will be said on that day, verse 9, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. Oh, it's not easy to wait. It's excruciating to wait. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. It's worth it. It's worth the wait. Because there will be an end to all suffering and death. And on the final day, on that final day with Jesus, we will not only look back on death, we will look down on death while Jesus totally destroys it. That's how our chapter ends. Isaiah 25 ends by describing this victory in graphic terms. Verses 10 through 12, Moab is spoken of as a man we can think of him this way, personifying death. So take all the death in the world, all the suffering, all the evil, all the wickedness, and personify it in these final verses as a man named Moab. You think you hate death? You think you want to see death destroyed? Jesus hates death infinitely more. Verse 10, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, and Moab, death, shall be trampled down in his place as straw is trampled down in a dunghill. And he, death, will spread out his hands in the midst of it, the dunghill, as a swimmer spreads his hands out to swim. But the Lord will lay low death's pompous pride together with the skill of his hands. And the high fortifications of death's walls, the Lord will bring down, lay low, and cast to the ground, to the dust. That's what's going to happen to death one day. And that's what you're going to see with your own eyes, believer. One day, the returning, victorious, triumphant, death-destroying Jesus is going to trample down on the neck of death and grind it into the ground, Isaiah says, like straw in a dunghill. And pitiful, desperate death will helplessly try to swim away. Just contrast for a moment in your mind. Contrast for a moment the picture of the outstretched hands of Jesus, victorious over death on the cross. The outstretched hands of Jesus ascending into heaven. The outstretched hands of Jesus reigning right now from the throne at his Father's right hand versus the outstretched hands of pitiful little death trying to swim away in a dunghill. And with one last stomp of victory, simultaneous with the sound of the trumpet, Jesus destroys death. Lift up your eyes this morning. Listen to God's word. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, face down in a dunghill. Or as our chapter ends this morning, cast to the ground, to the dust. Death's destroyer is worthy of worship. And death's destruction is worth the wait. Remember the story that Tim Keller told about the man, the father, whose young wife died of cancer, and he was driving his four kids to the funeral when a large truck passed by them in the left lane, and it cast a shadow over the car. And the dad asked the kids, would you rather be run over by the truck or the shadow of the truck? And the 11-year-old answered, well, by the shadow, of course. And the dad said, that's what's happened to your mom. Only the shadow of death has passed over her because the truck of death ran over Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's why Jesus came. So that by his death, he might destroy death. That's what he tells the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. He says, hey, John, be not afraid. I am the living one. Behold, I died and I am alive forevermore. And guess what's in my hands? I have the keys to death and hell. That's why the angels announce good news to the shepherds. It's why they sing glory to God in the highest. because death's destroyer had come into the world. And death's destroyer will come again into the world. And we know what's going to happen then in the end. Jesus wins. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we thank you and praise you for this good news. And God, we ask for your help. Because here we live in the valley of the shadow of death. So Lord, in the now and the not yet, increase our faith, increase our hope, and increase our longing for the return of Jesus, our conqueror. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.